solutions of an organized way of being. I'll just share with you my thoughts about writing this book. So a while back, I was in a grocery store, and I noticed that there was a magazine, and the cover of it said 125 ways to get organized. And I was baffled. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So when we develop a consciousness of change and possibility, that's the conversation that there is. And I know there was a book lately written called The Magic Art of Tidying Up, and it's a very good book. And it's a book more looking at the psychology of organizing with a kind of a Buddhist slant, a more of a, I think, a Japanese Zen approach to organizing. Mine is really 19th century metaphysics. I love metaphysics. I love consciousness conversations. I know that thoughts are things. That, I mean, I used to have a minister that would always say to me, and I have it here, as we turn to God, God turns to us. So we just have to really open to a new way of having a deeper conversation with what we attract, what we bring in our life, how we go about things. So tonight I want to talk about consciousness. And I believe that everything depends on your attitude towards yourself. But there is simply one principle working, and that's your consciousness. Neville Goddard, who's a New Thought philosopher, probably like 1900s, he once said that when you know that consciousness is the one and only reality, you are free from the belief that there are causes outside of your own mind that can affect your life. And I'll say that again. He said, when you know that consciousness is the one and only reality, you are free from the belief that there are causes outside of your own mind that can affect your life. So organization for me is really about the mindfulness that you bring to time and space and how you structure your day. When you're moving through life with belongings that just bury you, you leave no room for anything new to land in your life. And if you really clog up this movement of divine energy with your stuff, you block new possibilities from entry. So we really change our thinking about what we attract, how we go about things, with prayer, affirmations, and thoughts we have that are destructive because we judge ourselves about this all the time. You know, I go into an environment and I say, you know, I'm an organizing consultant. And people either start confessing to me their organizing woes, or they run away. I think we really judge ourselves with this, no matter how accomplished, how wealthy, how successful you are. We're just taught that we should have it together. And so I've noticed that the affliction of our generation is one of always doing. We're always doing something. I used to love when I used to fly, and I would sit at the gate, and I would just relax. I would maybe read a book. But now everyone's on their phone. Everyone's always busy connecting, relating, doing something externally driven, opposed to sort of looking within. The pressures of having to know everything, be everything, do everything is on 24/7. So we're the ones that have to say no to that. We're the ones that have to say no to that old way of being and seeking something better within. I always want to start my talk by quoting George Carlin. And here I know where the beautiful spiritual bookstore, I should be quoting Krishnamurti or Lao Tzu or Zhuangzi or someone. But he once said that we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't even like. And that's kind of the raison d'etre, you know, of life, where we're in this kind of game of always one of consumption. So a couple things that I know is true, especially when it comes to this conversation, that there is always a source of good that intercepts your life, that change is always possible, that you don't need to know the steps. You just really need to turn towards the light of hope and have faith until you see it manifest in your life. And I know that we always exist under the grace of God or the divinity or divine self, whatever that is for you, that we're always under the grace of forgiveness. So we have to let ourselves be under that grace. We have to say to ourselves that I take that time to switch my mind to turn towards my better self and not stories of how I was raised, how my parents were, because so much of this conversation we just simply learn by how people were in our lives. You know, I came from a Slavic environment in Canada where my mom was an impeccable house lady, Hausfrau, I don't even know what it would be in Ukrainian, but her life was about her house because she came from nothing. So it was very important for her. And I realized growing up that my life was like a hotel lobby. There was nothing out of place. We had little, but what we had was good. But we didn't have a lot of things. And so I internalized that, and I lived with very few, but I have the right things. But people say to me, oh, you're so organized. And it's like, no, I just grew up in an environment where, you know, we didn't have a lot. But now the conversation is we have so much stuff. And, you know, people say in the organizing world that we organize what we prioritize. That certain areas in our life, we really have it together, and other areas we may not. And so for, you know, a lot of people, it's clothing, or it's memorabilia, or it's financial organization, or it's paper, or it's stuff that's big in, you know, barns and things like that. So we all organize what we value. And then there's a lot of what we don't value that sort of messes us up. So tonight, you know, I encourage you just to let go of those stories, that you're not your clutter, you're not those stories, you're so much more than that. So it's a deeper look within that really shifts our experience. So the fastest way to improve any situation is to make peace with your current circumstances, to let go of judgment. Nobody judges you more than yourself. Life is responding to you. Nothing is happening from an external force. So I encourage you to focus on things you desire, on that possibility rather than fear. And the thing is, when we have this conversation and we look back, it's always one of regret that we could have done it easier, lived better, lived fuller. And then if we look into the future about how we're going to get organized, it's not regret, but it's fear, because we don't know how to do it. So, you know, Eckhart Tolle, so many people talk about the present moment. And why we talk about that in the spiritual context is that that's the only place where change is possible. Because if you go into the past of regret, the future of fear, you're not really changing anything. So that present moment is where answers are, where creativity flourishes, where imagination is available. So if you can hold a mental image of your space, and we're going to end with a nice meditation tonight, what it looks like, how you feel in it, how it makes you function is all you need to start this process. A woman last night said to me, you know, I'm not very visual, and yet so many spiritual teachers talk about visualize. And I could tell she's very auditory. She's a musician. But how she spoke was very succinct, and just this beautiful voice, how she spoke. You know, so I encourage her to create lists, to create to write down what she desired in her organizing space, where she needed to start, and for her to take it out of her mind into somewhere where she could say, oh, that's where I need to go. So today she tried it, and she texted me when I was driving here, and she said, you know, I woke up this morning, I wrote down why I need to get organized. And it was really from her mom and dad. They died in a car accident, and she inherited everything that they owned, no siblings. And she said, you know, I couldn't really start when I realized it because I would feel like I was burying them again. So, you know, there's such a depth to this experience. It's not just inheriting, she said, you know, 12 sets of dishes from her mom and all her dad's clothing and all of this stuff. You know, it comes with such a weight. You know, the Jains in India, a religious group, they believe that everything has an energetic to it, even inanimate objects. And you sense that when you go into any sort of business home, that there's a vibrancy into that experience. So if you can create the mental mold for your experience to incur, and you walk in faith knowing that it is happening, and staying kind of steadfast in consciousness, you are using your mind to change the internal rather than the external. And that's really how change begins, that your predominant thoughts on organizing are really what bring your organizing style to you. If your vision inspires faith and action, you're on your way to manifesting that reality, that an organized life is possible. So if you desire it, you think it, and you'll have it. But you first have to desire it for a new change, a new possibility. If you are conscious of this divine force of good and you use it, you're aligned with a very powerful source from which to improve your life. And this force drives the creative process, how ideas take shape and begin to appear in your reality. Eckhart Tolle once said that the universe is responding to you, that your primary purpose in life is to enable consciousness to flow into what you do. And what is consciousness? You know, it's the thoughts of your own holiness. It's the thoughts of your becoming something. It's the thought of connection to something greater. But that also is within you. So if you open up to that possibility again and let consciousness flow through you, you'll have the right answers to getting organized. So the one thing is that our aim in life is to do whatever you can to find that place of centeredness where time stops and you feel connected to something deep within. What can be life-changing is having a mindful relationship with what we think about, what we surround ourselves with, what we bring into our lives, how we structure our day. And to support you in this organizing effort, the universe only requires that you're opening to changing your behavior and believing in your own success. A life that is free from chaos, unnecessary interruptions, and constant stress over the mundane is possible if you mentally hold that vision for yourself. When you look back at your life with joy and satisfaction, you see that the most fulfilling achievements were driven by passion and empathy, not so much what you got done. You know, I feel so many of us, we work, you know, harder, not smarter. We do a lot of things, but not the right things, because we don't have time to figure out what that is. So I know that everyone here is seeking something deeper, greater within themselves. And clutter and chaos don't really bring you there. They may be part of your journey, but they're not who you are. So I know that there is something that we all yearn for, and that is our connection with our own divinity, our own sacredness. When you give yourself the power to use your thoughts to make better choices and to actively visualize the life that you desire, knowing that you are supported and loved and organizing success awaits. When you understand that consciousness is the true North Star that guides you in the right direction and trust in your own divine truth, you shall move into the realm where organizing is a success and is a possibility. So by replacing chaos with peace, the external moment is felt, the internal moment is felt, and you become present and use spiritual time management principles to improve your life at home and at work. So I know if you visualize order, if you feel order, you start to live in order, and once you live in order, you live in peace. It's really the kind of that system. So I'd like to close tonight, and then we're going to have questions and we'll talk about our situation. But I'd like you to go into meditation, and we're going to end in a meditative prayer and an affirmation, and then talk about questions. We'll take questions and answers. So if we just close our eyes right now and affirm that all your needs are taken care of as I follow this higher power of Source, that I let go of everything that is no longer aligned with my highest good. I let go of all the negative thoughts that keep me trapped and unable to get organized. I free myself from the burden of stuff and am open to the creative energy of the universe. Today I let God's love lead the way. So I free myself from the burden of stuff and am open to the creative energy of the universe. Today I let God's love lead the way. And so right now I acknowledge God's grace in all life, in all things, and in all activity. And this oneness lives and breathes among all creation here and now. I know that the divine justice and activity of God supports and guides me in claiming my good. As I set powerful intentions to get and stay organized, to maintain easy, low-effort systems all around me, I know that God's truth is revealing itself in my life. And there is the right unfolding of events. In all things that arise, the divine justice of God reveals itself fully and completely. There is nothing that can hinder the manifestation of my intentions. I have the support of God and am grateful for this. When I accept this truth, there is always a successful outcome. Moving forward in a positive and powerful way, it's already done. And so I sit with that wisdom, that intention, and I gently seek out an area in my life that is confusing to me, that doesn't support my higher self in all that I think I can do and become. And if that area is your room, your office, your bedroom, your living room, your car, your purse, your bag, your briefcase, wherever you see chaos, bring light and energy of healing to that space. Knowing that you may not know the right way to proceed, but you're simply open to a new experience, letting that old one go and replacing it with something new and wonderful. That in the mind of God, all is possible. And you can achieve that energetic flow in your surroundings when you just simply reside and be in it. You consume less, because you know that you are a true child of God and that source energy is all around you, feeding you in a way that you know is just giving you what you need. That you seek out no longer approving comments and ideas from people, but you seek your answers from within, knowing that you are powerful beyond measure in achieving this space that you so desire. The space of clarity, of wisdom, of possibility, all those things that exist within you can be manifest outside of you. So we trust in this process, just opening ourselves up to a new experience of being organized and having our time in place where we know that there is just simply enough of it. That there's no limits of space, of time, in the mind of God. That there's more than enough of it all, always around you, always available. So I encourage you now to just hold that space in light, in love, in possibility, in hope, knowing that you just simply start and things magically will manifest in a way that serves your highest good. I know this is how it works when it comes to this topic of organization. And so we breathe in this possibility of completion, of space, of peace, knowing that thy will be done for the highest and best all the time. And so together we just say with one heartbeat, and so it is.
And so it is.
Just slowly opening your eyes, moving your body around. So people say to me, where do I start in this conversation? So we start in meditation and centering and connecting with what we really, our heart desires. People say, well then what do I do after that? Well, you start small. You start with the most current. You start with the most pressing for you. You don't start with memorabilia from when you were in the third grade and by 2020 you're in the fourth grade. You start with what is really upsetting you now. So for me, I like to have my finances in order. I like to know what's happening around me with paper. You know, I start with in that mess and in that chaos, I gather all my paper and I put it in one big pile. Immediately, I feel better. I pre-sort it into areas of action, toss, maybe to file. Keeping 3 to 4 easy categories, not over-organizing. Because we think when we need to get organized, we need to be perfect. how Martha Stewart comes in our mind, and everything is just like you're ice skating throughout your house, that everything has a place. And it not necessarily does need to be like that. You know, we have to find our own way to organization. So I know what I file, 80% of what I file, I never look at again. So I don't create these vast, elaborate filing systems. I have a couple boxes, like 66 quart boxes for my kids, for all their memorabilia. And once that gets full, then I don't put any more in. But if they want to keep another thing, they have to take something out. So I teach my children, I teach my parents, even my mom, how to make it happen, and to encourage them to sit with me and be with me and not do it for others. And I guarantee that the more you do it, the easier it becomes, and you welcome it in, opposed to putting it aside with disdain or worry. That the more you do it and you create simple, easy systems, they transform your life. So it's not rocket science. It's like we just choose not to do it. I think always, you know, if we can put a toy car in another planet, what can't we do? What can't we do with our own lives? You know, where cars are like cafeterias now, coming from to and from your work, where our purses and handbags and stuff just has so much stuff of information, of paper. But if you prioritize that in your life, shift happens, change happens, and I guarantee you have less of it. So I know when I want to buy clothing or anything really special or something, I buy the better things, but I have few of them. Because better things last. So when I look at Birkenstocks lasting for like 20 years, you don't need 10 kinds of sandals. You can have one that stays in style, that lasts. So it's always good to, you know, seek that out, to seek things. If you want to go trendy, go cheaper. But if I want to, you know, have a winter jacket, I'll spend extra money because I'll have it for 15, 20 years. And I don't have to, you know, keep purging and buying. And, you know, and I don't even talk about the environmental ramifications of what we do. I was at a book signing recently of a woman who wrote a book. It was very good. It was the hard life of fashion. And basically looking at all the sweat mills and all of these factories, and it was just appalling to see how much, you know, unconsciously we do and the environmental impact we have on that. So, you know, be wise. You know, money, your stuff is things. Stuff is important in your life. So I just wanted to conclude with that, and I just want to open this up since we're all together here. What area concerns you and what solutions we can have, and such a, since it is an intimate group, that what we share, that we just keep it here, that we respect each other's confidence in that way, and we just are, we're all here to help and support one another in this experience that we call earthly life, you know. So any questions, any ideas, anything that stirs your heart about this, anything that's said, why you're here, anything here? Yeah.
I'd like to just to throw into the pot.
Yeah.
The mystery of emphasis.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever have you ever heard of you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. And when you put the emphasis on the right syllable, everything just seems to. Now I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
Now it's coming through.
Hmm.
So in my struggles to find that level of organization which makes me most active and most creative in the world.
Yeah.
It seems it's I'm trying to bring, it's like there's an I'm not putting the emphasis on the right syllable.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
So what is the snag? You know, like I always feel like any sort of inflection.
Can you talk about
it? Oh, sorry. I was just gonna recall. But any sort of infliction I feel like we have, like, I feel like that's the cross we bear in this incarnation, in this experience. And it's all about bringing forth a healing. A healing. You know, whether it's with time or space or people or whatever it is, that it comes forth because a healing needs to happen. And it's always the same conversation, it's just a different facet. And it's about healing the sense of separation from our holiness. You know, when you look at children and they're born into this holiness and then life just, and you build these, like, I call these, like, barnacle ways of being, where it takes, you know, like a Roto-Rooter. It's like you go to the dentist every 6 months, and, you know, when you get your teeth clean, it's like you have to brace yourself because of the plaque and decay. And it's like that with our mind and our consciousness. So sometimes when, like, and I love how you said that, because we focus on the wrong way of expressing ourselves, that wrong thing, but that snag that comes up for you, what is that? You know, when you feel that infliction of disorganization, how does that appear in your life?
Oh, where the things, it's the difference between where the things that I hunger for feel accessible and,
yeah,
and where they don't feel accessible.
Yeah.
And when it's aligned, and I don't even have to look, I just, and there,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And there,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good, really good idea.
It's magic.
Yeah. And I find when there's that ebb and flow, you know, when you desire something and it appears, or when you, then you're looking for something and it's there. You know, it's like the joining of the dots of your life. They just, there's an easier way how they actually connect. It's not like you're here, and there's the dot. If you come, you shoot right into it. But I do know that less is more, that your space, when you're visually confused, you're mentally confused, no matter how brilliant and how artistic and creative you are, very few people can survive and thrive in chaos. Unless you're maybe like a Jackson Pollock or something, and you just, you know, you're just out there in another realm anyways. But I think the demands that are placed upon us, with family demands, work demands, surviving demands, allow forth for you, I think, to solve these issues so you can have a life that is more than your stuff, that is more than this, you know, than this realm of, because it's kind of like a low-level conversation, but yet it affects us so much. You know, I have a quote in my book, how can you find God when you can't find your car keys? You know, that how do you find your own sacredness when you just can't even, it takes you an extra hour to get out of the house and you're late for something. You know, I have something in my book, and I've shared it with many ministers, and it's the sacred circle of time. So I don't see time in these 15-minute increments, sure. I needed to be here at 7:30 tonight, not on my own time. But I always feel, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many things I get done. I could get done my whole to-do list and not feel like I really got what I needed to get done. So I've created something in my book which is like a circular look at time. And in the center of it, every day, and I'm going to create a calendar book of this, but every day I write a word of God possibility. So today was clarity. I had a lecture early this morning, I came here, so I just write clarity of how God is expressing itself through me today. And then in the larger circle around it, I put what I need to do. And at the end of the day, I look at that calendar of clarity, and I see myself interjecting that concept in all of my actions, and I feel fulfilled at the end of the day. It wasn't the amount of stuff I got done, but it was how much I allowed that God energy to flow in my life. I know when I travel, I'm always somewhat anxious because I've had experiences that weren't the best. And so safety is a big deal when I'm on the road or in an airport, and I think, oh great, I get a cup of coffee, I'm safe with it, it's not spilling over, I don't bump into anybody. I travel in that safe way, and that concept, it's the only thing I have to think about all day is that one word. And then when I finish that day, and then I'm about to, I go to bed and I begin the next day, I write on that calendar a demonstration of how God showed up in my life. So how was safety manifested? how was clarity manifested today? And then I say, oh, I'm affirmed because I do walk in faith, and not a Christian faith because I was raised Catholic, but a bigger faith. And then I'm able to put forth that God word, that God essence in my day, and let it permeate in everything I do throughout that day, and I feel fulfilled. So, you know, to see time in a bigger, you know, a bigger way than just these little linear hours, by minutes, by seconds, when I don't think it's like that, I don't think it's like that at all. It's how we have to function in the world, but it's not what feeds our soul. So it's a different conversation of how we're going to look at time, too. So, yeah, but these are very good. These are really thoughtful things, you know, you're talking about. Anything else? Any other comments?
Yeah. Well, that's reminding me of something I heard, I don't know if it was here or on the radio, somebody said that when he wakes up in the morning, he thinks, his thought is, what's going to be the highlight of this day?
Huh, yeah.
And it really is, it's a lovely way to start the day.
And
to be aware throughout the day, that's really special. Really special.
That's a very positive, that's a positive way to begin your day.
Yeah.
And, well, and just centering, like when we talk about meditation, you know, I find I do a lot of meditative walks in the morning just to feel my feet on this earth. Because I'm a Gemini year of the monkey, I have a lot going on externally, but I find when I walk on the planet, I have to feel centered. But I honor that time. It's a time that I need to it's a time I need to kind of program my day. But I sit every day before I do anything. After, you know, I do my walking meditation, I sit in my office and I look, what do I want to bring forth today? Because we manifest. You know, consciousness isn't just something in thin air. It's a big deal in how we go about life. And especially, you know, when the conversation's about your connection with your holiness and your own sacredness, not about how many filing systems you have, but it really does help to have that in order to seek your higher good and throughout the day, and to be proactive in your day. And I think many of us, we just respond because we're just running faster. We can run faster, but it's not the quality of life that you know, feeds our soul, that nurtures who we are. But we get caught up in that, and you see that in everything you do. You know, that you have the power to change how you relate to your things, and you're not those old stories of who you've been taught to be or what you've seen in your life. You know, you're just so much more than that experience of your past.
Another thing is this bracelet that the K-Tech car people give that out at our Peacetown rallies.
Yeah,
it says everything is always working out for me.
Yeah, I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wish it wasn't on that.
Plastic. You need to make one, you know.
When you that sounds very attractive to me, like the God essence word that you were talking about. How does this one just it just appears? Do you set aside do you pause and ask for the word to appear?
I do, and I have a list in my book of like over 40 God attributes. So if you can't find one, you know, they're pretty generic too, like peace and beauty.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, but you know, mine is like, what do I need to accomplish today? So I have to meet with somebody, talk about something, come here. Well, how do I need to show up? It's with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's your bracelet. Yeah. Thanks. But it's about it's about you know, being clear. But I sit with it. I sit and ask myself, how do I need to show up today in the world? And I think when you get to the point, especially living here where you have such a beautiful experience of nature and life, it's almost once, you know, you get enough from spirit, how do you serve spirit? You know, what essence needs to be brought forth through you to serve God? There's a wonderful minister in Los Angeles, Reverend Michael Beckwith from Agape, and he's a famous guy. And, you know, he says that we become what we are, not what we want. So we become what we are already, then opposed to what we want. But he said when we get that, when we vision, and when we seek answers within, that comes forth, that God essence. But that's a great question. But see, many of us, we don't know ourselves because we're too busy figuring out how to make money to live. You know, but what feeds our soul is knowing that when we're connected to that source, things function easier. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the flow of life. I think snags are brought up to heal, but when there's this beautiful ebb and flow, you're in the flow of God. You know, and it is all God, but I feel like when you're manifesting a life that's peaceful, you feel it. You've created it, and it's happening. But it's an ease and the ebb and flow of life that's really beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good question, Jim. Mm-hmm. Help by one of you guys who haven't said anything. Any comments?
To me, the challenge is time.
Yeah.
It's I'm not interested in a smarter filing system or removing clutter or something. That's
yeah.
trivial
yeah, right.
material details.
Yeah, yeah.
It's most challenging how to allocate my time.
Yeah.
So I need to prioritize.
Yeah.
And you talked about doing the small things first.
Yeah.
I find that I tend to do too much of get the little stuff out of the way, and the big things tend to hang around too long because I'm dealing with everyday pressures and ignoring big things that I really ought to get done. So I'm looking for a mindful way to prioritize.
That's a really great comment, you know, because it's time that dictates our experience and our relationship to time. And you know, people, there's so many gimmicks that you, whether you prioritize like A, B, C, get more done in the morning when you have high energy, less productive, you know, energy you do, you don't get those things done later in the day. But I guarantee to, if you try this God essence in your day, when you sit with
that's
yourself,
the choosing one
yeah,
word.
Choosing one word, drawing it in a circle, and then around it, seeing what you have to do, but to just sit with that concept and to see where spirit guides you. Because sometimes you'll do the bigger things and then you'll do the little things. Sometimes you'll do the little things and the big things. You know, there isn't this cement kind of version of who we are that we have to do the same thing all the time. You know, sometimes I'm inspired at 4 a.m. and I sit and write and meditate. Sometimes it's at midnight. Sometimes it's, you know, not so much in the afternoon, but maybe late morning. But if I ask how I have to show up, what essence do I need to bring forth, and then see what I need to get done, I am guided to doing the right thing. But I also trust that I am. And I know at the end of the day when I check in, when I go to bed, and I always read something sacred before I go to bed and first thing in the morning. I literally get, and I remember Joseph Campbell said this and many great teachers, and when I do that, I center in a greater becoming. I'm not the minutia of the mundane world, that I'm something bigger, and I sense it, and I operate from a bigger perspective in what I need to do. But it's a very good thing what you said. It's a very good thing about, you know, what right thing do I have to do? What do I need to do with time? And how can I make time work for me in a way? So try the circular notion, not a linear, and that essence, see how that expresses in your day. And see how you feel fulfilled at the end of the day with it. And email me, contact me, you know. I had a minister on Sunday who said I never saw time in a circular way. Well, Native Americans did. The Buddhists see time in a circular way. Most cultures see time in a circular way, except the Western world.
Can you clarify circular versus linear time?
Yeah, just not so much with A to B, B to C, but an element of holiness coming forth into something and then moving into something else, where there's not this straight across from like start to finish. It's constantly moving in your actions and in your activities.
So rather than a to-do list, it's a today's, not agenda, but... today's clarity or beauty or peace or whatever.
Yeah. Because the thing is, you know, even when you get the A stuff done, there's still B and C. People still feel inadequate if they don't get everything done. And there's always something to do.
Never finished.
Yeah, right. And it always makes you feel bad. And then you spend all these times doing the A list, the B list, the C. We'll start with the most important. Well, sometimes, you know, I like getting the little things done, so I can focus on the big things. You know, it depends what I'm doing, whether it's work-related, you know, family-related. It all depends. But I know what matters to me is how I feel at the end of the day and how good I feel about what I got done. And it's not the amount of things. It's not the level of how you prioritize. It's that God essence. It's that essence that you're expressing in what you do. So try it. You know, feel it and see how you feel. And then if you get those things done, great. But it's how, at the end of the day, how you feel about what you got done. And it's never the amount. It is never the amount, because I know there's always something to do. And there's always something that tells you you didn't get enough done. Or, wow, so you went for a 2-hour hike when you could have been doing other things. There's always something within you telling you to do something else. And it's never enough. But if you express that holiness in what you do, it fulfills you, it sustains you, and it guides you into something else too. Yeah.
It's like they talk about painting the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
By the time they're done, they start over.
Yeah.
It's like they're just always doing it.
Yeah.
So it would be your attitude as you paint.
Yeah.
It's never about getting it done.
Yeah.
It's your attitude as you're doing it.
Because, you know, when you look, I know my dad recently died, and he was an interesting guy, but he had all these just great hobbies, and he never got a lot of them done, but the ones he did were great. And when he died, and he was slowly dying, he said, you know, I don't really care about what I didn't get done, but what I got done made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you may have all judged me. Yeah, and it was so touching, as you may have all judged me for being this person, this creative person. And he was a businessman and then got into his creativity. But he said, you know, what I got done was what I needed to get done.
Who's
you know,
this?
My dad.
Oh, your dad.
Yeah, you know. And it was so touching. So it doesn't matter how many lists and check marks and checking. None of that really matters. You know, it's really how you feel about what you did and how you did it. You know, yeah. But very good, yeah.
At the end of each day, I do not really a journal so much
yeah.
as I just write one or two lines.
Yeah.
Sort of what I accomplished today,
yeah,
so
yeah.
that I can sort of celebrate.
Yeah.
Hey, I got that and that
yeah.
and that done.
Yeah, and it's a demonstration. I know in religious science we talk about demonstrations to really affirm your faith. But when you see a demonstration, you know, like clarity or whatever, for me tomorrow, well, you know, it worked out for me, so I feel fulfilled. It wasn't how many sessions I had with people, but it really was that essence that I brought forth in what I did that makes me feel good. Yeah, that's really good. That's very good. Yeah. How about you two over here, contemplators? Any comments or anything?
Well, I was thinking about what he was saying.
Yeah.
I'm different than that. I'm very project oriented.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have huge, massive amounts of projects. So
yeah.
They can go for decades even.
Yeah.
But so I always have something to do.
Yeah.
And I just discovered a very long time ago
yeah.
that I don't ever get really too specific
yeah.
about what I'm doing in
yeah.
a day.
Yeah.
Because I'm super spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and because I know that there's always endless things for me to do,
yeah.
I just find a great liberty
yeah.
in just doing whatever I want to do spontaneously
yeah.
and then flow and ebb and flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tend to
yeah.
go for, I'm very much into prioritizing.
Yeah.
So I tend to go for the things that are really meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And eventually, what happens with me is the little
yeah.
things sometimes
mm-hmm.
tend to get carried, you know, because I just don't really want to deal with
yeah.
the little mundane.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I don't really like the mundane. I'm
yeah.
a very creative person.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So mundane doesn't really sit with me too
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do. I mean, right now my house is very clean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, you know, yeah. it's just like it. I can go for a while before I get myself to do something in that level.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
that's, and then I'll just
yeah. do
thoroughly
it.
Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I'll go back to what I really want to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it just really works for me because
yeah.
I just gave up a long time ago on planning specifically. And I mean, there's general plans in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, I mean, the thing,
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, sir,
That was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's spontaneity. It's kind of like a testament to a high, to a certain level of organization that's just there.
Yeah.
And, you're, and like in order for that spontaneity to be there, it means you have to be tapping into that higher level of organization.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, I'm extremely tapped into a very high level of organization.
Which is okay. Which is there. It's kind of instructing you all the time.
Yeah.
So so there's an organizational instructor.
Well, and there are people like in my first book when I looked at, you know, left brain, right brain, frontal lobes, basal lobes of the brain. There are those that really, you know, on the left side that are very, you know, linear and are natural organizers, but there's also a ton of us who are creative, who start and stop, or who have company coming or a job review, and you have to, you know, get it together. But what I encourage in this book is not to live in that realm of just getting organized. Like, your life is to bring forth your own sacredness. So if you have those specifics done, then things do work out. But you may do them every day, whenever, every anytime you get that urge to do it, and that is fine. Because it's about finding your own way in this conversation. You have to get rid of that family of origin conversation, or what your neighbors think, or your spouse. You know, my husband and I are very different how we function, and we can make it work. You know, he's not organized, I'm super organized. But it brings me peace, it brings me calmness. For him, he's a scientist and does cancer research. He's in chaos of the body all the time. So for him, you know, it doesn't behoove him to work on that realm. He works in a different space, and that's fine, that's how he is. So, you know, it's finding your own way, and you know, whether you need to get organized every day or time, but you find your own way in getting it done, you know, and so, and to be good and gentle with yourself in that process, you know. But I like, yeah. So tonight when you came, what inspired you to come for this conversation?
I work by here every day.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah, okay.
So I just look at the little
sign.
Oh,
that's great, that's great, yeah, good.
I do have a question, though, because we were talking about something that was similar, and I've been trying to remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Jim probably knows the name of it.
Yeah.
But what is it? It's a Judeo-Christian thing, so it's more of probably Christian. It's an ancient practice at the end of the day, and you go through and you review everything that you did in the day.
Yeah.
And what is that called again?
I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but I always call it a review. You know,
There
is an ancient name for it, but I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember what that was.
Yeah.
It was related to what you were talking
about.
And some people use a structure like the Ten Commandments. You know, like, did I fulfill the commandments, or did I, cross a commandment, or something like that, in a review. And some reviews are more spontaneous.
So like you start at the beginning of the day, and you think through your whole day, and think about how God was with me today, and all the good things that you did, and all the bad things that you did.
Right.
It's just a review.
It's a form of prayer, actually.
I have not been able to remember
it's a type of prayer. I can't remember the name of that type of prayer.
Yeah.
I don't
know if you're thinking about what that is, you know. How about you? Anything you
I don't even know where to start because it, I'm just in a time of my life of constant faith and asking for guidance and direction. My husband died about 16 and a half months ago, and my brother died 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
My grown daughters live, our grown daughters live down in LA.
Yeah.
And I just, my life's extremely different now than it was, of course, but I have a lot of decisions that I'll need to make in the forthcoming years.
Yeah.
And I had a period of time like this in my
from the time I was, my first marriage ended, and from the time I was 26 to 32, I lived alone up at Guerneville in my house, and I had a time where I really relied on guidance and direction, you know, daily. I was, you know, I lived alone, and I navigated my life and created many things in my life. And I keep telling my daughters, I said, this feels so much like that time, except for I'm 40 years older. And so it's a very different time, but it's similar in some ways. And my quest for guidance and direction is every day and in everything. So if I walk by here and I see, then I know to come. If I see if it feels like right to me, or I really try to be led that way, but I have a lot of big decisions to make too. And so I'm kind of a combination of living this life where it really is faith-based, and each day really constantly looking for and being aware of guidance and direction, at the same time having to make
decisions
and get a lot of different things done as well. So it's kind of a combination of a very faith-based, almost life of wanting things to come in and show me exactly what I need to be doing, which way I need to be going or something, and at the same time, by necessity, and moving and moving forward in certain ways as they show up. And I'm just really trusting that life will show me exactly what to do.
Yeah.
But it's scary.
And it's hard, you know, with the different seasons in our lives. You know, I look at my mom, you know, 87 doing this stuff, this 57 years being married, and now has just this whole realm of belongings of my father, his books, his trade workman stuff and that. And I said to her this time when I was there in August, can we go through something? She says, you know, I'm not ready. And it's like, okay. You know, I completely respect that, even though I know it's preventing her from moving forward in a positive, joyful way, because she's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in time she'll get through it, and she'll go through it easily and effortlessly. And I affirm that faith for her. Like, I pray for her every day that she can let go of this. I do. And, you know, it is one mind. We're all here together. There's just one of us. So I make sure that, you know, I hold her in that light, and she'll make those decisions when she needs to, and it'll be the right time. But that she's good to herself, that you're good to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. You know,
mm-hmm.
these transitions we make in life, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think the first Buddhist noble truth all the time, that, you know, but yet we have to make it work, and we have to figure it out
mm-hmm.
in a way that really behooves us and moves us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you stay up here, but yet walk this walk?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and so I always find that people are so creative. They have things in their mind, but they can't see their way. But, you know, journaling, writing. Sometimes when I journal and write before I actually do any writing, I'll sit on my computer and I'll write for like 20, 30 minutes, and then I'll just delete the whole thing.
Mm.
And I have to say, and it was Julie Morganton, and I do that every morning, that I need to write and be creative. And I get the stuff I don't need that's bothering me out, and then I can see what's inside that needs to be done, you know. So it's a real asset in, like, figuring out your next steps, because you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody knows but you. You know, and to walk that walk in faith until you see the shift and things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, we're all on this journey together, you know. So, anything else anybody wants to say or anything? No? Yeah.
It was really helpful.
Well, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me here in this nice, beautiful space with everyone. My heart's really in Northern California, so I'm here, even though my body is in my energy here, you know.
I'm going to start that practice about the essence work.
Yeah, try
that's
that.
Really,
isn't it, I think
that really rang true to me.
Thank you.
I used to live in Salt Lake City. Which part do you live in?
I live by the university. But we just bought some land. We bought 10 acres up Immigration Canyon. So we're trying to build our own house right now.
Canyons are so lovely.
Yeah.
I love those
canyons.
Like Little Cottonwood Canyon.
They're great. It's just the dominant energy there is one that is really difficult.
Where did you say? Missouri?
Salt Lake City. Yeah, Utah.
Oh, the Mormon.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. It's a great place to live and ski and the hikes and nature. It's beautiful. Yeah.
My brother lives out on Holiday.
Oh yeah. Oh nice. Yeah, that's nice. Well, thank you everyone for having
me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Tim. Appreciate it. You know. Thank you.
Well, everybody, just a quick closing announcement. There is a donation bowl on the counter. The books are available, and please take a look. And a portion of our donations goes to our speaker to support her work, and a portion goes to the store so we can continue to do this. It was wonderful to see you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Jim, do you need to?
Mm-hmm.